Good morning. It's good to be here. Thank you, Brother Sim, for sharing those thoughts with us this morning. It's interesting. He did counsel the midwives. I never thought about it that way. I just assumed it's wrong to kill, but yet others were doing it. Others were doing it. Praise God for the fear of the Lord. Just appreciated the worship this morning, too, and just sort of singing that one song. It says, I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. And, you know, I was like, it's not just like somehow I hope, God, I make it. I hope I make it. Oh, Lord, I just somehow I'm hoping that I'm going to make it, right? But it's a living hope this morning. We're not just somehow hoping that, you know, perchance I'm going to make it by just that week or somehow that week I confessed all my sins and somehow made it. But it's a hope that we have because Jesus lives. He rose from the dead that we might have hope and that we can live. And he gave us exceeding abundantly all that we could ask or think. It's all there. He supplied it all. Hallelujah, this morning. Jesus made a way where there seemed to be no way. We thank God this morning, just for a new day. Thank God for health this morning. I thank God for his spirit. My message here this morning is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Mainly this morning, I'm going to talk about the heart. I'm not going to be getting into the other two for today, but I just want to talk about the heart this morning. This is an area that God was dealing with me just recently more, and we just want to talk about it and explain some things that I feel God wanted me to share this morning. First of all, we've got to look at maybe that word heart. It's the center of things. It's the thoughts or the feelings. I have eight different things here that we use the word heart for, and I'm just suggesting that it's all of this. God wants all of this. He wants everything. The first one is, you know, we use the term from the bottom of my heart, I love you, right? Or I promise to do this from the bottom of my heart. We use that term. That means it just simply means it's sincere with all of one's heart. It's fervent, truth, passionate, and genuine. That's from the bottom of my heart. I promise to serve you. Do we use that term with God? Can we say that to God this morning? I love you from the bottom of my heart, and whatever you ask me to do, I would do. Would we say that to God this morning? Another one is, it blessed my heart. You know, we use that. It blesses my heart. And I know Elmer used this on Wednesday night. It blesses my heart to see children encouraging each other, right? And also, he related that. How is God blessed when we see each other encouraging one another? Does that bless the heart of God? It brings pleasure. It satisfies and brings joy to his heart. When he sees us encouraging one another in the Lord and just calling out, brother, I see something in you. Follow God with that. There's a gift in you. Don't neglect that gift. Another one is, I know a poem by heart. That just simply means we know the whole thing word for word. He has a good heart. That's another one. You know, fundamentally or deep down, he has a good heart. And we recognize that different times. Maybe that at the bottom of the heart, there's a desire. He has a good heart. We use that he has a big heart or whatever. But really, what's down at the bottom of our heart? And are we able to allow that to come out and to give God all of that? After his own heart. David was a man after God's own heart. And that just, he was like-minded. He had the same passions God did. He had the same He was compatible with God. He shared God's tastes. He was kindred spirit to God. And he had a heart after God. And that was his desire. Do we have, can people say of us, he's a man or a woman after God's own heart? Do they see that oneness with God? Do they see a desire in our hearts to be compatible with God and what God wants to do? Another one is the heart of the matter. What's the heart of the matter, right? That's the essence or the crux or the core or the essential part. What is the heart of the matter? Do we love God with all our heart? Or the heart of the city? It's right in the middle. And, you know, I believe our heart is central to our body organs. And it's right. It's the center of our life is the heart. Without a heart, there is nothing. God is the center. He's right in the center. He wants to dwell. He lives in our heart. Or you captured my heart. It's our emotions, our feelings, our soul or mind, our affection, our passion, our sympathy or pity, or our compassion. Do you have a compassion in your heart this morning? Is God the center of that? Has God captured your heart? Do you feel a motivation to serve God this morning? Are you motivated to serve God from the bottom of your heart? Has he captured your heart this morning? He desires that. He is, he wants 100% complete control. He wants to capture your heart this morning. Set your affections on things above where Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. Where's your affection this morning? Where's your emotions? Where's your mind or your passion? Or do we have a compassion for those who are in need? Do we have a compassion this morning as we prayed for these different widows? You know, really, I don't know that I have the full capacity of compassion for them because I never really experienced it. And yet I believe God could give us that if we would seek him with a whole heart, that we could grieve with those who grieve, rejoice with those who rejoice, to have the capacity to feel God for others. I believe God wants to share that with us this morning. So that's just a few thoughts on God wants to us to love him with all our heart. And he wants us to memorize him from day to day. To memorize, to be after his heart. Luke 10:25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Can't we just sense his attitude? Like, what should I do that I can live forever? Or, you know, because he goes on and Jesus says, or he says, Jesus asked him, what's written in the law and what do you read? And he's like, well, we got to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all our heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and the neighbor as thyself. And then Jesus says, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. When we love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're going to live. This do, and thou shalt live, and thy neighbor as thyself. Just a few thoughts here. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I was thinking over, you know, God judges us by our motives, or maybe what's the purpose, what's the motive of you doing what you do? What is the purpose, or what's the motive when you choose to do something? But as I was thinking on this, blessed are the pure in heart. And I was trying to think why. What could be a wrong motive of wanting a pure heart? And I believe if we have a desire for a pure heart, it just about can't be a wrong motive. Think about it. Blessed are the pure in heart. What do you think of when you think of pure? What comes to your mind when you think, God, make my heart pure? What does that mean to you? And what would that look like in our hearts? Let's just think about maybe a heart that is not pure. There may be envy in your heart. There may be jealousy. Or maybe there's dealings in your mind and you're battling with someone. There's debates going on. There's a word God has spoken and you're battling with him. And that's not wrong in itself for maybe a time. But I'm just thinking, what is a pure heart? And do we have inner turmoil? I think just recently someone shared a message on James. How, you know, if there's bitter envy and strife in your heart, lie not against the truth. God wants us to have a pure heart. And it says, for they shall see God. When we clear our heart before God and get rid of those bitter envies, those strives in our hearts, those debates with each other, or debates with God, or debates with our wives, our children, or our parents. What is a pure heart? What comes to mind when you see, blessed are the pure in heart? You can't really have a wrong motive for wanting a pure heart. It's to see God. And that's what Moses cried out, God, I want to see you. Do we have a cry in our heart to see God? What is our heart after? What are we seeking after? What is in there? We're going to look at that more in detail here shortly. It says Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Do we have treasures? What is it? And that determines where your heart is, really. Where the treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And unless Christ is that treasure, our heart will be torn apart or broken, or it will be, there will be not purity, there won't be a rest. We must know Jesus Christ as that treasure. And out of that can flow, our life can flow through that. Luke 21, just want to look at this a little bit. This is Luke 21:34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. What day? Like, I believe he's... And it was giving here. The disciples had asked him about the destruction of Jerusalem and when's all these things going to come to pass. And he said, take heed that your heart be not overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. And we're like, well, I'm not a drunk. That's good. But maybe we should ask, are we surfeiters? Are we surfeiters? Or do we care about the things of this life? Are we caught up with the cares of this life? Is our heart, is our treasure at the wrong place? And therefore, when the stock markets clash, or there's wars and tornadoes, and our heart begins to fail, it says there earlier that men's hearts failing them for fear. When we have fear, why do we have fear? What are we afraid of? Is it because we're in sin? And we're afraid to meet God? Or is it because we're just afraid? And God saw, Genesis 6:5, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That one verse, it says, who can know? The heart is deceitful above all else. Who can know it? Do we have any idea that the fallenness, the capacity, or I guess you should say, the fallenness of our hearts when given to evil, to every imagination? Because it who would have thought today that people can think as wickedly and unjustly as they do today? Who would have thought that our heart has that capacity? Who knows the fallenness of man? I mean, think about what's going on in our day. With all the gender change and all the... And I trust 20, 40, maybe 50 years ago, this same appalling thought would have been about maybe divorce and remarriage. And today, that's just kind of okay in the church. It just doesn't, like, make us like, what? You mean you're not married to your first spouse? And you're remarried and you're in the church? And you're okay with that? That same appalling thought maybe 40, 50 years ago. And here we are today. In 40 years from now, how is that going to be? Are we just going to be okay? Will there be sex or gender change in the pulpit? I believe there's going to be. I don't know why not. What would keep it? That sin has been increasing ever since time. Who knows the depths of the capacity of the fallenness of our heart when it's not honest before God? We must have a true heart. I love older men. I just appreciate them so much. I had just the privilege of talking with an older folk, older man this week, and it's Dottie Aaron there at the job, and he works there. Get to work with him every once in a while, and I just appreciate him. He just has such a heart for the Word of God. And on Thursday, I had the privilege of privilege, I guess it was just part of my day, but that's how my work is. It's a privilege. And I took him to Georgetown because he had left his tractor there for the night before, so he had to bring the big rig home. And the first question he asked me when he jumped into the pickup, when I stopped to pick him up, is, which is your best sermon? But, I mean, that just comes out of him. He's just always like, what's God doing? And I just love hanging out with him. He's 85, and he puts as many hours in as I do yet. And I just love that. He just has a passion for God, but also for work. But I just appreciated him, and just we just got to talk. I mean, I had about a 15-minute ride, and then I had to fuel him up, so I had the fuel tank on the pickup. That took about 15 minutes, and we just were able to talk, and just I was just sharing with him and asking him questions, and I just appreciated his input. So anyway, he gave me an expository Vines dictionary, and he just felt like maybe this could, you know, speak into the message or whatever. And I was just so blessed by just the dictionary or the definition here in the Vines dictionary. So by an easy transition, the word came to stand for men's entire mental and moral activity. We're looking at the word heart. What's in your heart, what's coming out of your heart, is really the entire mental and moral activity is coming out of you. I know that, you know, we can come on a Sunday morning and it's just glorious. We worship God. It's such a blessing to come together as a body and just to feel the excitement in the song and in the true worship. And yet God is saying, I'm sick and tired of your solemn assemblies. I'm sick and tired of it. It's dung to me. And I believe it's simply not that he's tired of people meeting together, but if you're not living this life on a daily basis and you come here and somehow you're weeping because somehow God is showing you something, and yet you have no intentions of changing. I'm sick and tired of that solemn assembly. It stands for our entire mental and moral activity, both in the rational and emotional elements. Like we can rationalize, we can, our emotions get the best of us, and yet God is wanting he wants control. He wants to be in our hearts and have that relationship. It's just been one of the greater prayers of mine recently, is just to feel the love of God in a greater measure. so that we have to give of the love of God. We can't give of the love of God. And I'll be the first one to admit I've not been connecting with God in the way that I should have, and it creates a challenge in the family. It creates a challenge in our marriage. It creates a challenge in our relationships with our children when we use other things to fulfill our emotional elements. In other words, the heart is used figuratively for the hidden springs of the personal life. The Bible describes human depravity as in the heart. Do you have a void in your heart this morning? Is our heart depraved of something? Are we deprived of something? And may it be because it's not fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. May it be because our heart is at a place that we're seeking to fill it with other things because we don't have Jesus Christ there. And there's a void, and we run after other things. Do you have a void? Is there a deprived area in your heart that's not being met this morning that only Jesus can meet? I believe Jesus wants to be that. He wants to fill that void in our life. Because sin is a principle which has its seat in the center of man's inward life. Sin has a seat in our inward life, and it then defiles the whole circuit of our action. And I believe when we begin down that path of allowing that void to just be there and not getting God, not allowing God to give us a heart that is after Him, He has given us all things. He has died for every area of our life, every area of sin in your life. He has died for that. And He wants, and if we don't recognize that, if we come to Him and it's in falsehood, and we have a hope and we worship God on a Sunday, but there's no intentions of changing, and the seed of our heart is just to do my own thing, it will defile your whole circuit eventually. And one thing that Aaron shared with me is every decision we make today, every decision, every word we talk about, everything we said today is going to affect our future. And really, he said, the rest of your life, you're going to live in trying to justify what you said if you're not repent. If you don't repent, if it's wrong and contrary to the word of God, and we don't repent of that, it is going to take us down the road of having to justify ourselves, and eventually our whole circuit is going to be defiled. It defiles the whole circuit of his actions. Matthew 15, verse 19 and 20. This is just a couple verses in that. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Out of the heart, that's the first thing, is an evil thought or evil thoughts. When we begin to meditate on evil thoughts and we allow those thoughts to come out, look what it ends up in. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. You don't just one morning wake up, you're just walking along. One morning you wake up and you decide, you know what, I'm going to murder somebody today. That's, you know, why not? It begins in the thought life. It begins in your heart. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And there's a thought in there. It could have been 20 years ago somebody hurt you. And from that day forth, if it wasn't forgiven and released to God, in 20 years, there could be a murder come out of that because you have not dealt with it. I believe that's what's happening today. There's people, there's murders and shootings just rampant anymore. It's just not unusual. That doesn't just by one morning decide to do it. There's somewhere a thought that's being cultivated. There's somewhere a process in their heart that's being cultivated. And they're allowing that to stir and to stir. I believe that happened with Judas. The same thing. It didn't just that day decide, you know what, I'm going to see if I can offer some money. And like, I believe this was his pattern of thinking. And I believe that thought process was taking him down a road that he would have never thought. What a sad ending. Adulteries. You don't just one morning wake up and decide, you know what, I'm tired of my wife. I'm going to just forget it. Let's go have another one somewhere. I mean, that doesn't just happen in one day. But it begins as a thought process. It begins as a maybe an offense that I took an offense. I took an offense and I became bitter and I didn't deal with it properly. We didn't talk about it. We didn't ask God to heal us. And over a period of time, you know what? I think it's just better that we separate. Everybody will be happier. It comes out of our heart. It's our thoughts. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries. Fornication, same way. It's just giving in, allowing your heart, your mind to just meditate. Your mind is given over to evil thoughts. Your mind is given over to temptations and desires of your flesh and lusts of the mind. And you end up becoming a fornicator or a thief or false witnesses or blasphemies. It just, this is what I'm talking about. If the center of the seed of our heart is sin, that principle will come to the point where it will defile your whole circuit of action. Do we understand the word of God? God is after your heart, that you have a pure heart. Genesis 6:5. I did read that already. But just every imagination of the heart of man is evil continually. Maybe that's not here. You know, you wouldn't say, why continually think of evil. But could it be in 20 years if we recognize that our heart, I believe, as we think in our heart, so are we. As we meditate, as we think in our heart, and I believe as we meditate and think on God, as we think of him and love him and worship him, I believe out of that will come a pure heart to see God. And we shall see God, it says. The heart as lying deep within contains the hidden man. It's the real man. It reveals, it represents the true character. What's in you, that true character is going to come out of you. Maybe not Sunday mornings. We're pretty disciplined. I'm guilty of this. Maybe not Sunday mornings. But what about Monday night? Or Tuesday or Wednesday? What about maybe even on the way to church? What about on the way home from church? You know, we just had this wonderful time in worship. It represents our true character, I'm saying. What is the true character of our heart? Malachi 2:2. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. I believe, in a sense, he was talking somewhat of here in this book here about just the adulterous Israel. What are we doing? What are we trying to hide? God sees everything. We're naked and open before his eyes. He understands. He sees our heart. He sees even the deep motives and intents of our heart. And he can see why we do what we do. He can see all this. This is not new to God. God is able to see through this. The heart, it denotes the seat of physical life, the seat of moral nature and spiritual life. It's the seat of grief. We grieve in our hearts when we lose a loved one. There's grief comes from our heart. We have joy. Do we have joy in our hearts at times? What's our desires? What's our deep desire and longing this morning? If you would be honest with yourself and just ask the question, what is my deepest desire this morning? What do I desire to see? And we could all raise our hands and say, it's just to serve God with all my heart. And yet deep down is that rooted, I'm going to do it my way tomorrow though, right? Or can we be honest this morning? What is that heart's desire in you? It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. When we delight in the Lord, he allows those desires to come to pass that honor him. What is your desire this morning? What's your affection? I talked a little bit about that when I talked about capturing a heart. What's your affection this morning? Is your affection set on things above? Do you have affections? Or does God need to change that stony heart out yet and give you a heart of flesh, as he talks about in Ezekiel 36? Do you have an affection? Is God your affection? Or the way you perceive things, our perceptions of how we perceive things. Is God that? Talked a lot about the thoughts, the understanding, the reasoning powers. It talks about the heart comes from within. And that's what we get. That's what defiles us this morning. Our imaginations. We have imaginations. We're in a sense, I think we're built to imagine. I think so. I mean, we do. We have a great imagination. I think it's right if it's in the right way. If we use it in a proper way, just to imagine things of God. I mean, I wouldn't have much to say if I wouldn't have an imagination. And that doesn't make it truth, but yet our imaginations, as if we love God with all our heart, our imaginations are, it's amazing. If we think of all the things that through imagining things we have today, the conveniences that we have today, just a simple thing of a light bulb, you know, somewhere that began with an imagination. Like I imagine, or I just, what if this would, our thoughts and our imagining, our conscience. Talked a little bit about our conscience this morning. Somebody, where's your conscience? Do you still have a conscience? I believe there's a time when our conscience can be soft and it's not as sensitive as it used to be. I believe we want that conscience is, as Sim was sharing this morning, our conscience, I believe, is in a sense the way we talk with God. And I believe when something pricks our conscience and there's a thing we're pursuing and it's not clear, I don't have to explain to anybody here what that feels like. We know, each one of us in here began with that conscience and there's just not a peace, but we do it anyway. The Bible says that the peace of God should rule our hearts. And that's just simply, when there's not a peace, it's very dangerous to press on through. Is your conscience still sensitive to the Spirit of God? Does the Holy Spirit of God still, is he able to talk with you this morning? Does his conscience still bother you? Or does your conscience still bother you when you know? You know, I know when my conscience bothers me. And you don't have to be very old before that begins to work. And our intentions, this is all rooted and seated in the heart. What is our intentions this morning, even tomorrow? It was wonderful to be here this morning. It was such a blessing. It was so encouraging, reviving, just to be here. I love coming to church. And just to meet with other people and to be allowed to share and just to worship God. But what's my intentions tomorrow? What am I going to do tomorrow? And someone steps on my toes or someone, you know, says something and I want to take offense. What's my intentions? Are we wrestling with these things? Or is it just okay? What's the purpose of my life? There's nothing greater. There's nothing more rewarding to walk in the purpose that God has called you. There will be nothing more rewarding in your life ever, I don't think, than to be able to walk in the purpose that God has called you here for. And if we don't, I believe we're there again, that hidden man, it begins to take us down a different road. When our intentions and our purpose is not being walked out as God has called us to. And you know, I believe that God has given us a will. God has given us a will. Why would He want us forever to live with Him in heaven if we're always seeking to do outside of what He has asked us? Like, He cleansed heaven. He doesn't want, that's not going to work. That He already had to take care of that in heaven, and that's not going to anymore enter heaven. Anything that defileth is never going to enter there again. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth full of people who are without spot or wrinkle. What does that look like? That would sound to me like a pure heart. Without spot or wrinkle. What is your will? Has your will been broken? Have we been born again? Has our will been broken? Or are we still fighting that? Are we still battling with that? Allowing God. These were some things that He had drawn up and given to me, Aaron did, and just referring. And the first one here, I should have maybe got it to put on the screen, but it's just a picture of a heart. All kinds of compartments. You know, nah, can't get in there. No, I don't want you in there. Maybe, not today. You know, your heart is petitioned for Jesus. I mean, does that work? According to the Word of God, can we have petition hearts where maybe today or tomorrow? I don't believe so. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. That doesn't work. It's else in or out. Or, you know, divided heart. We talk about a divided heart. Is your heart divided this morning? I know what that feels like. I'm not saying that we never have a divided heart. There's times I believe, you know, we have a divided heart. We're trying to serve ourselves, and yet we want God to be in it. That says you cannot serve God and mammon. He says there, can bitter water and sweet water come from the same fountain? Or is your heart just shriveled up this morning, full of self and things that I want to do? Just kind of shriveled up, Most of what we do is to satisfy a passion. We must deny ourselves daily and take up his cross. This one here is, have you repented? It's a broken heart. Has your heart been broken? Is your heart broken before God? Have you been born again? And I know even in my life, there was, when I got born again, there wasn't just a great brokenness at the moment. It was just more like, I just believe God that he saved me. And there was a couple years later where where God just spoke to me pretty precisely that you're still about yourself. And I just remember the weeping and the brokenness that that brought and just how that just, it just changed my life. Have we been broken? Has the Spirit of God, do we allow the fear of God to break us? What would happen today if the hypocrites would fall dead at the altar again? How many of us would still be here? I'm guilty. There was a time that that wouldn't have been safe for me to pray. Are we a hypocrite this morning? By God's grace is a renewed heart. If we allow God to break our hearts, by his grace, there's going to be a renewed heart. If Ezekiel 36, 25 and 26 and 7, it talks about, I will take your stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And that's just simply a heart that can feel, a heart that's pliable, a heart that's open, a heart that's beating, a heart where blood is flowing through and there's a cleansing of your body, soul, spirit. He gives you a heart of flesh, one that will feel, has love. And he's this sign is down on 30, billboard on Route 30. Find peace, surrender to Jesus. He said that's his favorite billboard that Christian Aid has up. And you know, when there's war in our hearts, if there's a war, as long as there's no treaty of peace or whatever, as long as the one army doesn't surrender to the other, there's war. But you know, we must surrender our will to God. There must be a transfer of that power. And when the one army surrenders, then there's peace. And we need God to continue to prick us. Ask God to renew a conscience that is sensitive to him. I want to just give us a few some time here this morning. I'm going to open the altar. And I just feel a need of just asking God for a cleansing in my own heart. We need it. I need God. We need God in my life. I need God in my life. I need God in our marriage. I need God in our home. Unless God moves, Satan's going to have his way. And he's not here just to trip us. He's here to kill us. He's here to destroy a witness for him, for Jesus. I heard just recently, I forget, maybe it was here. Satan is upset. He knows we have a privilege he don't. And he knows he's not getting back in. He knows he's done. But he recognizes we still have that opportunity and it upsets him. And he's angry. And he's after the church. He's after you and me this morning. So I just want to open the altar this morning. If there's something in your heart that's not clean, that you desire to give to God this morning, what comes out of us when somebody hits us or pricks us or steps on our toes or takes advantage of us? I remember back in 2003, we had this company come around, Five Stars International, and they had this food and all this good things. And by the end of the evening, we ended up with a freezer full of food and a freezer, and like this was the deal, right? And we thought we got a really good deal. And by the next day, it was maybe a couple weeks later, realized it was just a ripoff, right? And I decided I'm not going to pay them. That's just the way it is. They're not taking advantage of me, right? And I didn't. It's only about $1,100. I mean, that's not worth going to hell about. But I remember I got born again the next year, that next summer. And I didn't think about it then, but it was later on in the season there. Later on, it was about, I think it was December 10th or 11th. I know it was right in that time that I was convicted I needed to pay them. And it was the exact date of the last payment. It was on payments. Like our thing was over a 12-month period, and it was that date when I sent them the check. What's our motive when someone rips us off, or what happens? Are we desperate to seek revenge?